Well, first of all, I have not met really any of you guys here in this congregation, but my name is Chuck Madden. I am the director of a ministry called Child Evangelism Fellowship. And what we do is we evangelize, disciple children all across Citrus and Hernando County. And we do that through many different things. But first, I'm going to tell you about our organization, Child Evangelism Fellowship, which is called CEF. Maybe some of you have heard of it because they did backyard Bible clubs years ago, where you would come to somebody's backyard, somebody's front yard, wherever it is, a community center, and they would have children's church. You would notice it. It would be like a big parachute out front or something like that. There'd be a bunch of kids in there playing. But CEF is an 80-year-old ministry that reaches children all across the world. It started with one person with a vision because he was told that a child couldn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he became, I think it was like 60, 65 years old, he realized that God was calling him to children's ministry. And it's pretty amazing to think that God can use somebody who's 60, 65 years old to start a ministry that reaches now children all across the world. And so Child Evangelism Fellowship, what they do right now is we actually have, our headquarters is in Warrington, Missouri, and we reach over 20 million children worldwide. It's pretty amazing to see that. They are in almost every single country, and countries that we cannot even say and we can't even actually say their names, because if we put their names out on Facebook, social media, wherever, they will be persecuted. I just actually got an email this past week that there was a person who was, they just listed his name as M, and his wife was, you know, L, and said, I can't put their names, but they were actually beaten by the police for sharing the gospel in a closed nation. And so our ministry is reaching people and children worldwide. This past year, I actually just got the reports that they reported there was over 25 million face-to-face presentations of the gospel with a person. That was pretty amazing to think that God is reaching 25 million people with the gospel every year. And they're seeing hundreds of thousands and millions of salvations. And that's the ministry that I'm a part of. This ministry is an 80-year-old ministry that is continuing to work. This recently, they just came out with these gospel balloons. And they asked us as partners, us as missionaries, us as people, to let our people know, and anybody involved in the ministry, to take these gospel balloons and fill them with air from South Korea, to let them float over to North Korea so they can hear the gospel. It's pretty amazing what God can do with the vision of one person and how that one person has really changed his whole world. But yet, it's kind of the best-kept secret of ministry, because not many people really know about this ministry, about Child Vision and Fellowship. Now, that's a global aspect of it. And so they have hundreds of workers in the United States, actually thousands of workers, and thousands more overseas. Child Vision and Fellowship, their ministry is actually bigger overseas than it is here in the United States. It's pretty amazing. You'd think that it would be the opposite, but they're sending more missionaries and more trained people overseas to reach children, to reach people, to train adults with the gospel. And it's pretty amazing to see that we're a part of that. Now, to give you the local perspective, is our local area that what I do and what I'm over charge of is Citrus and Hernando County. There are 23 elementary schools in Citrus and Hernando County. We started this back in 2012 with a vision to reach the children, because they weren't coming to our church, you know. They weren't coming to where we were located. And so we decided that we needed to go to where they are. And where is that? The school system. We didn't know what it looked like. And between our church, my home church, Freedom for Life Family Church in Homosassa, we decided that, hey, we needed to start reaching these children. We didn't even know what it looked like. I was in the middle of creating my own curriculum and creating our thoughts about creating our own curriculum and how to reach these children. And then all of a sudden, Child Evangelism Fellowship came into our pastor's path. It was pretty amazing that we were so excited about it. And our church was like, we need to go and get trained. We need to go and do this. We need to go and find out what God is doing in these other counties. Because Marion County, right north of us, was doing ministry of these good news clubs in the school system. And so our church got trained, our pastor got trained in how to reach children with the gospel. It's actually really funny because, you know, you would think that we have to not speak Christianese, we have to speak Childrenese. Because as pastors, as ministers of the gospel, sometimes we can say really big words that children don't understand at all. And so we had to relearn how to minister the gospel to children because nobody was. So in 2012, we started our first Good News Club at Homosassa Elementary. Shortly thereafter that next school year, we started an elementary school, a Good News Club at Lecanto Primary School, right down the road. And we've been expanding ever since. I'm here to tell you today that we are in 15 of the 23 elementary schools in Citrus and Hernando County. Can we give God some praise for that? Amen. Now, each week throughout the school year, our ministry is a year-long ministry. We don't just stop when school's out. We don't stop when the kids go home. We have other things for that. But throughout the year, we had close to 850 children enrolled in our Good News Clubs. That's pretty amazing. 850 children hearing the gospel, being trained in the Word of God, being discipled. And I want to read this scripture to you. And many of you guys know it. It says there in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you." See, a lot of people will go overseas for mission trips, go overseas, and they need the gospel, praise God, but we need the gospel in our backyard. Because if the children aren't coming to us, then we need to go to them. And so praise God that God has given us the opportunity to go into this land, to go into every elementary school. I'm here to tell you today that out of the 11, I believe it is, elementary schools in this area, we are in 9. But I know that we're starting another elementary school next school year. God has also opened up the door for Sumter County, right to the east of us, where they don't have any Good News Clubs. They don't have a ministry of child ministry and fellowship. They don't have that. And I got a phone call not too long ago saying a church that we want to do this and we don't know what it looks like. And I'm like, you guys are out of my zone. I can't go over there. And I'm like, if it's God's will for us to go start a Good News Club over there to partner with the church, then let it be done. And God opened up the door. It just so happened that the school superintendent is a believer and goes to one of the other Baptist churches that's in the area. It just so happened that the church I was partnering with, their property line lined up on that school property line and their playground. So God was opening up doors and we didn't even know it. See, out of the 845 children just this past year, Pastor Stephen and I, you know, we broke down these numbers. And he actually wants me to just call him Stephen, so I just always call him still Pastor anyways. But Stephen and I, yeah, if you know him, he's like, don't call me Pastor, call me Stephen, okay? And we broke down these numbers, and out of the 845 children every week hearing the gospel, there was about one true salvation every 2.3 hours in ministry. One true salvation that was ever changed for the kingdom of God forever and eternity. Because of the Good News Clubs. And I know your church has been receiving some blessings over the past year or so with the purchase of the property next door. And you know what? All this ministry happens out of a 12x12 office right behind here. So you guys don't even know, by you sowing into this church, by sowing into this ministry, that you don't even know the rewards that are going to come from sowing into a ministry like that, because 845 children this past year have heard the gospel. Out of that, which is even more amazing, is there's about 160 volunteers in our ministry that volunteer every week to evangelize children, to disciple children in the Word of God, to get up there and get out of their comfort zone and hold up a flashcard or hold up a PowerPoint and teach. And they're like, I don't know if I can teach these kids. I don't even know if they like me. I'm 63 years old, 65 years old. I don't know if they like me. And yet the children keep coming. I had one club this past year where the leaders, they had 12 to 15 volunteers. And before school even started, before the first Good News Club ever happened, they had 100 children signed up for their club. And they're like, we don't know what to do, Chuck. We're like, we need help. You need to come and help us. And I was like, no, let's not panic right now. It says to ask God and he will send the laborers, right? And so God did that. They provided like another 5 or 6 volunteers, and they were ministering the gospel every week to 100 children. Can you tell me a church ministry in this area that has 100 children every single week that they're evangelizing and discipling? Can you tell me a church that's evangelizing and discipling 800 children every week? I can't find one in this area. And it all happens because of faithful people. Now, I was getting back to, there's about 160 volunteers all across these two counties. But yet that's still not enough, because God is moving regardless of whether or not we're going to be obedient to him. He's still opening up these new doors. I have the last 2 schools here in Citrus County that want a Good News Club, and the hardest part about it is I can't find a church. Can't find a church that would support our ministry, that 8 or 10 people would volunteer in the ministry. See, the one thing I know about children is children are about 25% of our population, but they are definitely 100% of the future. Our children are the future of this country. You know, they're going to be owning businesses, working in the government. They're going to be raising the next generation of believers. And it's amazing to see what God is doing through all that. Since 2012, there have been 5,100 children that have been reached with the gospel here in Citrus and Hernando County. It's amazing to see that. I'm here to encourage you, because God is definitely on the move. See, many times I hear stories as I go out, and part of my ministry is I go out and I talk to people, talk to churches, go and visit men's ministries, women's ministries, senior adult ministries, youth ministries. I go and visit all different types of ministries, and I always hear people complaining that God's not in the school system, that prayer is out of the school system, that we need God back in the school system. And I try and divert their attention to being that we are in the school system. We are reaching these children. We're so focused on the front door of not allowing prayer in the schools, but we've missed every single side door, every single window. Everything else is open for us to go reach these children with the gospel. Last year, I actually had a principal that called me and said, I want a Good News Club. So if even the school is crying out for help because they don't know what to do, where are we as believers? They're crying out for help for us to go and reach them with the gospel. And yet, still, people don't see the need or don't want to go. And so it's amazing to see what God has done in this area. It's amazing to see that even throughout our ministry of the Good News Club, God is definitely doing other things as well. During our summertime, we actually have a teenage training for them. It's called Christian Youth in Action. I just spent 2 weeks with about 150 to 160 teenagers. I need prayer, okay? I need prayer for that. Because being around 160, 170 teenagers for 2 weeks, talking with them, hanging out with them, you know, playing basketball with them, I'm tired, okay? I'm tired. I can't do that anymore, okay? I can't, you know, keep up with these teenagers, even though they're like, Chuck, how are you doing all this? And I'm like, I don't know, it's only by the grace of God. I can't, you know, I go to sleep and I'm tired, my knees hurt, my ankles hurt, I'm done, okay? Please, I'm not checking on you tonight in your dorm room. I'm just going to bed because I'm exhausted. And so over these past 2 weeks, this is not a camp. Actually, these teenagers that come, they come because they want to learn how to teach Bible lessons. They want to learn how to teach memory verses. They want to learn how to teach songs that are meaningful, that are scriptural. They learn how to teach ALS sign language through our songs. They also, I had the opportunity to teach, I would say, more than half of the teenagers, I call them children, but the half of the teenagers there, with how to counsel a child for salvation, how to lead a child to Christ. We use something called this. This is a wordless book, or the gospel by colors. And we teach about how God creates a place for us in heaven, how we talk about sin. We talk about the blood of Jesus Christ. We talk about him washing us clean. We talk about you growing in God. Now, that's said in 10 seconds, but there's more to it than that. But we teach these teenagers how to do this. And a lot of the teenagers are not going to end up going into ministry, meaning like in a church ministry, leading children's ministry, youth ministry, being a senior pastor. Most of these teenagers are going off into the workplace. So by investing in these teenagers in the summer, we're teaching them how to be Christ followers, how to be disciples of Jesus Christ, how to personally minister to them. But we also do something even more. Because they do come there and they learn all that, we have something that we call a five-day club, which is a vacation. Realistically, it's a vacation Bible school. You know, we call it five-day club because VBS was already taken. So it's called a five-day club. And what it is basically a good news club that's done 5 days in a row. And it's taught by teenagers that have the energy to jump up and down, have the energy to do all these crazy games with them. And I wish there's actually an iPad out there with some pictures from the ministry. So before you leave today, I'd like you to take a look at some of those. But these teenagers in our area, they're excited to serve God. One of the teenagers this past year, this last summer actually, they're about to start their five-day clubs tomorrow, okay, here in Homosassa, actually Beverly Hills. And last year, one of the teenagers ended up getting to lead his younger brother to the Lord. And this is a teenager who said, you know what, Mom and Dad, I'm going to go to church whether or not you go to church or not. And out of their mouth that their parents don't even believe, but yet they do. And through that young man ended up helping me here at Lakanto Elementary, a teenager helping me teach children every single week. Through that, his younger brother came to learn about the Word of God and to grow. It's pretty amazing to see what God is doing. And so this summer, our teenagers are traveling around here to do these five-day clubs. We set them up. We observe them. We have adults that are there for supervision, making sure all the children are safe. But these teenagers are passionate, on fire for God. You might be saying, well, what does that look like? You know, if you have your Bibles, if you want to turn there, I'm not going to read all these scriptures, but in John chapter 4, we talk about Jesus and the Samaritan woman. I'm going to paraphrase a lot of this story, but Jesus and the Samaritan woman. See, Jesus was just doing ministry, and he said, you know, I need to go from Judea down to Jerusalem, and he's like, oh, we need to pass through Samaria. Now, something interesting about Samaria is the Jews did not like Samaritans. There's a whole really deep teaching in all that, but basically, way back in the day, they intermarried with the Gentiles or the Assyrians, and they didn't really like them anymore. And so what Jews would necessarily do is, instead of going the quickest path, straight point A to point B, is they would go around them to avoid them at all costs. See, sometimes we go around people to avoid them at all costs. See, we'll see somebody in Walmart down an aisle and be like, oh, I don't want to talk to that person. I'm going to go down the next aisle and I'll pick up that thing down there. We will avoid them at all costs. Something that simple we will do. You know, we'll see somebody walking down the aisle and be like, oh, man, I hope that they don't see me. You know, I just, last time I talked to them and I really embarrassed myself, or they came to our church once and I don't know if they really liked it. Maybe it was something that I did. I don't know. But we will avoid them at all costs. And so Jesus, being God himself, he knew that he had a divine appointment in Samaria, because he knows all things. And so Jesus, instead of avoiding the situation, he said, you know, hey, we're going to go straight through here. Why go all the way around? It's just the quickest place is to go A to Z, is just right through the middle. And so when he went there, there was a woman, well, actually, he got there first, but he was by this well, and he told his disciples, hey, go buy some food. So they went off, left him alone. And this woman showed up right around the noontime, right when it's the hottest time of the day. And they had this conversation back and forth. And I'm going to read what it says. And it says, the woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink, for her disciples had gone away to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me when I'm a woman from Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered, if you only knew the gift of God and who it was that is saying this to you, give me a drink and ask them, and he would have given you living water. See, you might be here today. You might be trying to find this living water inside of us, because we have problems inside our own lives. We have problems inside of ourselves that maybe nobody else knows but Jesus knows. See, our children are going through so many terrible things in this county, in this world, in this nation. They're going through so many things, and Jesus knows that. And he's provided an open door for the good news clubs. See, Jesus, he provides the open door for you. He's here even today, this morning, talking to you, and he's saying, look, I can provide you this living water. Whatever you're going through in your life right now, I know about it. I can provide that living water for you. And Jesus later on, the conversation continues talking about how this is Jacob's well. And Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will never be thirsty again. But whoever drinks from the water that I give them will never be thirsty again. The water I give will become in him a spring of welling up for eternal life. What's fascinating is right after that says, the woman said to him, sir, give me this water so I'll not be thirsty or have to come draw water here anymore. See, she still didn't get it. She still didn't get it that he was speaking to her soul where she needed that healing. She needed Jesus. Why? Because she had five husbands. Why? Because she knew she was seeking something and trying to replace that with those men in her life. She knew she was seeking that, but she still didn't get it. See, she was saying, hey, just give me this living water so I don't even have to come here anymore. Just in the natural, that's all she was thinking about. She wasn't thinking about deep down inside. And so when he asked her later about going to get her husband, that's when she shared that, you know, I don't, he's not my husband. And he's like, that's right, you've had five. And he started telling her the things that she was really seeking on the inside. See, our children are crying out. They're seeking all sorts of things. They're seeking attention. They're seeking love. You know, there was a study that went on through children. It was like 10 things that children want from their parents. And some of the things ended up being like, hey, I want you to read me a story at nighttime. I want you to spend quality time one-on-one. I want you to tell me stories about when you were younger. And he went through all these different things, and ultimately, they were seeking from their natural mom and dad things that the Heavenly Father can give us in our soul. See, they wanted all these natural things, being like, hey, just tell me a story. Just spend some quality time. Just tell me I'm doing a good job. Just tell me, encourage me. But our children are really desiring something more in our lives. See, that's why children, even nowadays, they'll play video games to try and fill that void in their life. They'll go on social media as they're teenagers and try and, you know, poke fun at other people and maybe try and post pictures that are a little provocative because they're trying to seek this attention that our Heavenly Father can give them and tell them that they're a daughter of the living King and tell them that they're a son of the King and tell them that they're blessed. Tell them that they're made whole. Tell them that they're perfect. Tell them that they're beautiful. See, all these things these children are seeking. See, some of these things you might be seeking in your life as well. We might be seeking that, you know, I just want to be accepted. You know, I've done wrong things. And Jesus is saying, look, I forgive you if you believe and trust in me. If you turn over to me, I will forgive you. Jesus, later on in that, he was having that conversation with him, with that woman, talking about how she worships in the mountains and how we're going to one day worship in Jerusalem and go through all that conversation. And one of the amazing things at the very end, and it says here, I'm going to read this. In verse 27 of John chapter 4, it says, then the disciples came back to him, they said, and they marveled at who when he was talking to this woman. But no one said, who do you seek? Why are you talking to her? So the woman left her water jar, went into town, and said to the people, come and see who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? So they went out of the town and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he told to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples, and we just took communion today. And the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought me something to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me to accomplish his work. Some of you guys here today are like, I just don't know what to do, God. What do you have in store for me? There's women's ministry. There's Sunday school. There's helping out at the path. There's helping out in the Good News Club. Okay? See, God has provided a wide open harvest field to go and teach children the gospel. The school principals and administrator, we had actually a banquet that we were at not too long ago, and we had a school principal come and share what the Good News Club has done in our school. It's pretty amazing to see what God is doing through that, what God is doing and through that, through to do his work. He's using people from every different type of background. In our ministry, we have Baptist, Episcopalian, Lutheran, Methodist, Church of God, Assembly of God, non-denominational. We're all coming together to reach the children. It's amazing to see that we're dropping the denominational lines and accomplishing God's work. It's really cool and really exciting for me to be a part of something like that. And it says here, it says in verse 35, do not say that there are yet 4 months that comes the harvest. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for the harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here he's saying that holds true. One sows, another one reaps. I sent you to reap for which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. I'm telling you here today, there's some things that you guys might be able to do as a church family together. Is one, you can pray for us. Pray for God to continue to open the doors. Pray for the laborers in the to go out into the field, for the harvest is ripe. You can volunteer with us as well. I know it might not be a commitment, but we're in the summertime. If you wanted to learn more, my office is literally 15 feet that way. You know, if you ever see a white car on the side of the building over there in that sign by CEF, I'm here in the office, okay? You can come by and you can ask me. You can get with Stephen and ask him, be like, hey, I need to get the chuck, and I got to figure out how I can volunteer. We do many other things as well, and one of the things that I want to do here at this church is next year I want to hold a five-day club here at this church. You have the perfect opportunity to reach children up and down this road with the gospel. You're in the middle of a neighborhood going this way, that way, that way. We need to reach children with the gospel here. And the other thing you can do is support our ministry. You know, that could be monthly or once one-time gift, whatever it is. And see, it says, others have labored and you've entered in their same labor. We're all in this together, reaching children with the gospel. Reaching children here in Citrus and Hernando County. And it says that day on verse 39, many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So when I say to the Samaritans came to me, he asked them to stay with me, and they stayed for 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. And it says in verse 42, it says, then he said to the woman, this is no longer because of what you have said, that what we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. See, we go into places where people don't even know that we're going. A few months ago, we were at the YMCA when they had a health and wellness fitness day or whatever it was. I don't even know the title of it, but we had a health and wellness fitness day, and CEF was there. Because they recognized that not only do you need to be healthy in your body, you need to be healthy in your soul. We go places when you don't even think that we're going, and we're there. I go to different businesses. I go and get my haircut at a local barber here, and in there he always asks me, and he knows because he's a believer, and he says, hey, what is it that you're doing in the ministry? And I share with him, and he's like, it's amazing because not only that you're here, you're speaking to everybody else in this room about what God is doing. The barbershop is the best place to solve all the world's problems. It's the same place as like being on a boat with like 4 or 5 people. We could solve every problem on a boat, right? Yeah. And so I won't say about a beauty shop. I won't say anything about that one. But it's the best place to learn about everything in the world. No, I'm just kidding. But it is true, yes. But, you know, everywhere we go, we have the opportunity to share the light and the love of Jesus Christ that's in our soul, that has saved us from our sin forever. So I'm asking you, will you be a part somehow, some way? It might be a little bit, but you know, don't forget the widow's mite. That's all that she could do. You might be able to volunteer with me. Praise God, I could use the help. You know, it's a big task, and God is continually opening up doors. You might be able to pray for me. Pray for my wife back there and my 3 children. My wife is Becca back there. My daughter is Eliana, and my two boys are in the back in Sunday school. And so we're in this together. We're missionaries here, sent by God to this homeland, so that we can evangelize children with the gospel. It's amazing to see what God is doing. And you know, recently I had offers to do certain things outside of this ministry. And I'm like, no, God has called me and my family to do this. I can't tell you enough how exciting it is to walk up to a child after a Bible lesson, after a memory verse, and we ask them to raise their hand. Do you want to choose to believe yes or no in God? Yes. If you rose your hand, come meet me and my team in the back, and we'll tell you what it means to believe in Jesus. And when kids are sitting there sobbing because they realize the sin in their life and they need a Savior, it's powerful. It's really powerful. It was amazing to share something with you. Is I had one student here at a Rock Crusher Elementary School. These are all local stories. These aren't like stories that, these are all verified testimonies of 10 to 12 volunteers as well. It's amazing to see that because they're all excited and pumped up about this ministry that they share it with everybody. You know, they go back after every, you know, Monday, Tuesday, or Thursday, whenever we have a club, and they go back, and sometimes their church leaders are like, hey, what happened this past week? And be like, hey, we had 5 kids believe in Jesus for the first time. And it's like, wow, that's where the ministry's happening. Hey, we had one student who said he saw somebody that was bullying another kid in a Good News Club, and he was really a part of those kids that were helping bully, and he said, you know what, I'm not doing that anymore because Jesus doesn't want me to do that. We had this one kid, it's hilarious. It's not funny, meaning that it was funny his reaction. And so he was in our Good News Club, and he was sharing, at the end of the lesson, we always ask for it, and if anybody wants to believe, to come back. And so he rose his hand, he wanted to believe, and so when he came back there, I looked at him, and I was like, hey, why'd you come back here and talk to me? That's the first question, because they might come back and be like, hey, when's game time? And I'm like, not right now, dude. Like, I didn't ask that game time. Hey, can I go to the bathroom? I'm like, dude, really? Like, I asked if you want to believe in Jesus, not go to the bathroom. And so anyways, he came back, and I was like, why'd you come back here and talk to me? And he said, I don't know. And so at that point, we don't know what it is that he wants. And so one week he said, I don't know. The next week he said, hey, when is game time? He did say that. Then the other week he came back and he said, hey, I want to choose to believe in Jesus. And when we brought him into the back room with me and my other, you know, we separated so they don't hear all like the music and the games and stuff like that. And so when we brought them into the room, me and the other leader, they were there the kids, we were going around and be like, hey, what is sin? Who is Jesus? What did he do for you? How do you believe in him? And the kid, he stood up and he said, hey, we need, and I'm not going to scream it, okay, but he screamed it. And he's like, hey, we need to take responsibility for our own sin. This is a 6-year-old saying that. We need to take responsibility. We chose to do it when we did wrong. I'm like, man, if only adults can learn that when we get pulled over, you know. If only adults can learn that when we get pulled over, like, what were you doing? I was nothing. I wasn't speeding, or you know. If we could only do that, and children are evangelizing others. There's even one of the I'm gonna wrap this up right now. There was even one of the other school administrators that came up to me during a Good News Club and said, hey, your students, they're out on the playground mingling with the other believers, drawing crosses in the sand, saying, you know, Jesus is my Savior, and just excited. And these are children in the school system. It's really amazing to see what God is doing, and it's because he provides that living water like this woman. This woman was desiring that living water.